Okay, it's 8:45. We're going to call to order the Gates County Board of Supervisors. If you'll all rise and do the Pledge of Allegiance with us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the building. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Ansetzer, Dorn will be absent all day. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which is a general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held July 27th. Approve all claims through August 10th in the amount of $405,691.89. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve canceling check 19412 in the amount of $4,500, so two separate checks may be issued, totaling the same amount. Approve district court summary fee report for the month of July. Approve register of deeds fees report for month of July. Approve permit 883 for Nebraska Public Power to construct buried electric utility line. And, pardon me?
Norris.
Under crossing to be located at 165 feet south of northeast corner of section 36, township 6, north range 6 east. Approved permit 884 for Jeremy Sims to construct buried electric utility line. Under crossing to be located quarter mile south of northeast corner of section 215E east. And that's it.
I'd make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, items 1 through 9, but I'd like to pull off 5 to be considered separately.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle, to approve 1 through 9 with pulling off 5 for separate discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Number 5, Matt.
I'd like to visit and have the clerk maybe give an account of why we're doing this. I know this has come up before. We're canceling that check because you talk about it.
Well, from what I understand, we issued a check back in December. A claim was put through from the Highway Department to Burlington Northern, I believe, for, I don't know the specifics of the project. Since then, they had set on the check and recently said they wanted the check sent back and reissued in two separate amounts, one going to a bank and one going to Burlington Northern. The two will total the $4,500, but they want them split out. That's the most, I guess, I know situation.
Well, the discussion that I wanted to have was secondary to the auditor that coming down here regarding canceling checks, overpaying checks, and things like that is, you know, obviously there will be a paper trail on this, but here's a situation where we go through a claims process, we approve something, and then we got to go back because the people we cut the money to, now all of a sudden they don't want the money, they want it different. So it kind of complicates the process, but it's not an overpayment, it's just separating this out because now someone who got the money decided they want it differently. So I guess my thoughts are this is, it just bothers me.
Enough said.
Sorry.
Too.
So I'd make a motion to approve canceling of check 19412 in the amount of $4,500 and issuing two separate checks.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. You bet. Name and address for the record, please.
My name is Ross Stepan. Address is 3846 East Locust Lane, Holmesville, Nebraska. I'm here in regard to a special use permit that was issued in February of 2010. Permit number is 10-03. It's for a rock quarry construction by Harlan Schoenweiss, or the property owner is Harlan Schoenweiss, and that's who the permit was issued to. This thing's kind of been an ongoing wound for me. They stripped the soil, which I knew they had to do, and, you know, I knew it was going to be a big pile of dirt, but I don't know if any of you have ever seen 600,000 yards of dirt laying in a pile. It's huge. And this pile of dirt lies directly west of a 30-inch culvert that goes under the county road and runs onto my property. They have some minimal erosion control there. I've talked to Shona Weiss's a little, not a lot about it. I've talked to Beatrice Concrete. Them being the final end user, I thought may get some motion going for Mr. Shona Weiss to get something done with this thing. I contacted an attorney about, I don't know, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, to get something going. Marlon Cleaver with the Gage County contacted me about this. There was to be a meeting set up with he and myself and the chairperson of planning and zoning, which has never happened. And the whole deal is, if I follow through with what I'm doing, and I'm going to, it's going to cost me $15,000 to do it. And I don't see why I need to spend $15,000 of my money to protect what I feel Gage County should be handling. I stopped at the D&Q yesterday. I was in Lincoln. The permit has to be in Shona Weiss's name. They were down and checked this facility probably over a year ago, and Shona Weiss at that time said they were working under a permit, Beatrice Concrete's permit. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't fly because this is a completely separate piece of property. And after talking to DEQ yesterday, the permit has to, or the stormwater runoff permit has to be in the name of the person that holds the special use permit, which is Harlan Shona Weiss. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they've been operating out there for over a year without the needed permitting on this property. And as far as value of the property, all through the process of applying for this special use permit, you know, the value, property value would never be harmed. Well, I would invite any of you to come out and look at it and see if you think my property, maybe the value has been hurt by what's sitting there without the proper stormwater runoff in place.
I drove by there this morning.
And it's just a big pile of dirt. And we haven't had a 3 or 4 inch rain in the last year, thank God. Because if it would, most of it would probably be over my property. You know, at this point, I guess I can't make a lot of noise about what's over there, but there is dirt over there. Silt has washed over from there. I've got photographs of a 3/4 inch rain that happened last fall and shows pretty visible about what's coming across that road. So, you know, I don't know where to take it. I'm just real frustrated with everybody and everything with this deal. And, you know, through the permitting process, I brought up several times at the hearings about I think someone should look at a grading plan and a stormwater runoff plan before this permit's ever issued. Well, that never happened. And I have here, and I'll leave it with someone, whoever wants to look at it. I've got more copies in my truck if somebody else wants it, of what it takes in the state of Nebraska on new construction to get it permitted for stormwater. And I guess that's all I've got to say.
Don wants a copy for the record.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
We can make another copy.
And you can, you know, get it to PNC or whoever needs it. But that's kind of my little spiel. And I just, you know, I just feel like that the county approved it. The county ought to stand up to it and make them do what they have to do. I've had a conversation with Mr. Shona Weiss this morning. He was unaware of any of this, that he had to permit this thing. But, you know, at this point, I guess I would love to see him void that permit until something happens out there because, like I said, I don't know why I should spend $15,000 to defend my property.
We're getting a copy of the letter on the date I sent the letter to P&Z to review the permits.
Okay.
So we have had a glitch on our end of it. You know, the review did not take place. That you got a copy of the letter that I sent.
I got a copy of the letter.
So Ross has a very valid concern that our process has been slowed up somewhere. And we cannot take action upon it today, but we can get it on future agendas. And I think Matt said P&Z is meeting tomorrow.
Okay, I'll probably be at that meeting. I'll
yeah. So.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you.
You bet.
Discuss and approve or disapprove Gage County United or Gage County Health Insurance renewal.
Okay, we had the insurance committee has been meeting with our present carrier and the TBG benefit group relative to this issue. We had met with them about a month and a half ago and had some discussion relative to fees, and they went back to redo their numbers and brought those back to the insurance committee yesterday. Kathy was unable to be there. Myron was there but is off today. We looked at their proposal, and they'll make a brief proposal to the board. The committee felt, meeting with Don also, the proposal they've given us at this time is appropriate for this coming year. We do feel that in the next year, and we've told them also, from a fiscal responsibility standpoint, we probably need to re-quote this so we give others an opportunity to look and see what might be done for our employees. But at this point, we'd recommend approval, but I'd invite whoever wants to represent the company to come up and do a brief presentation.
Thank you. I'm Brad Swigert, and Lowell and Megan and I thank and the committee. We prepared some, Lowell's handing them out, some information that we thought would be beneficial, and Megan's going to go over the numbers briefly with you in just a second. But thank you, Denny, for your he has a lot of history in health insurance and understands it well, and we appreciate the opportunity to work with Gage County. As Denny indicated, as we're getting these handed out, we went back to 14 different carriers to get the best possible quotes that we could under the current situation with claims experience and so forth. If you could just real briefly take this out, the graph out, and the committee thought this was very important, and we've recreated copies, and I think we're going to maybe work in addition to with the renewal maybe some preventative things that you might want to consider down the road this fall. But it's kind of interesting. The benefit group has an exclusive program that they work in here in Nebraska called AWAC, and it's an advanced warning system. So, for instance, if someone goes in with a serious condition that they have, for lack of a better word, a cleansing system that pulls that out of the claims on a daily basis, and then they can negotiate directly with the facilities that are doing the ongoing care to get the best possible rate for the services provided. But it was kind of interesting, if you look at I'll just jump to page 2. This has to do with testing of people, of the opportunities that they have as far as the wellness, cholesterol, and those kind of things, the routine things to show, and that the percentage of people that are utilizing these preventative measures is very low. Not unusual, but low. And that was one of the things the committee had looked at, and we've got some proposals that we'll work with them ongoing on possibly putting some wellness things in that might help, because obviously if people are healthier, their claims are less. So with that, thank you again. And basically, Megan will answer any questions we have on the breakdown with the rates and fixed costs and so forth. Any questions for me? Thank you again.
Basically, on that first page, it's going to be a detailed breakdown of actual costs that Gage County is responsible for on a yearly basis. Going forward from the last year to the current carrier, that we're recommending on the actual fixed costs. Those are going to be costs to the PPO providers, the reinsurance carrier for the coverage at anything that is in excess of the $45,000. On the fixed costs, it's actually looking at a 10% increase, and on the overall maximum costs, it's at a 12%. Are there any questions in regards to the actual detailed breakdown? And then the only other thing really that I just kind of wanted to touch base on for you guys is there's two graphs in here where I just wanted to supply some information. This is going back to 2006 since the inception that Gage County has been with the benefit group. And on the red sheet, I just did a brief synopsis in regards to being fully insured versus self-funded. And like I said, I went back from 2006. And how I calculated the fully insured rates, the $665,520 was the actual renewal rate that you would have received in 2006 for being fully insured. And what I did was I did a 10% on the fully insured rates, which I felt was pretty conservative, and accumulated that up until the year 2011. Basically, from being fully insured to self-funded, so far, Gage County has in excess of saving of $500,000. And I also did a 2011 illustrative, and that would be for this current year going forward. And by being self-funded, really Gage County should be sitting at about $712,000 in savings for being self-funded rather than fully insured. The next graph that I did, you know, in meeting with the insurance committee, we just kind of briefly talked about, and this goes from being on that first page that I talked about in regards to figures. You'll see that there's an expected, a maximum, actual paid, and the difference between the maximum versus paid. And what I did was basically did a breakdown of the expected costs since 2006, the maximum cost that could be expected on a yearly basis, and the actual paid that has been paid out. And this is including the fixed costs and the actual claims that have been paid out on a yearly basis.
Chairman.
So from a budget standpoint, we're looking to put about $1 million in there. If I go expected versus maximum and actual, we have $1 million in there now. Is that acceptable? Based on history here, it looks like we've paid out less than $1 million every time.
Correct.
So $1 million from a budgeting standpoint is probably safe. Because I just was looking at here at the... at the cost here, the self-funded, we're looking at $957,000. Of course, it's, again, illustrative, but...
Right, and that would be including the fixed costs and the actual claims costs.
Okay.
And at the maximum for this year, it's looking at about 1.1, but obviously, looking at the data provided, it's never hit that maximum. Is it a possibility? Yes.
So for this overall 12%, what did we increase in benefits? What did we lose in benefits?
To my knowledge, benefits are remaining the same. There was discussions about dental and vision, but at this time, I don't believe that we're moving forward with that.
And on the insurance committee, I know you guys have asked. I don't know anything where you've been on your committee, so... what deductible are you at? Did we look at changing deductibles? Those are the type of questions that I've been asked in the community. What kind of deductibles could we change to lower the 10%, 12% growth?
Well, we change. You might go from the 40 to the 45, what we're recommending, as far as change, which decreases our liability. And
right. And on that, because we did move, like, he just said from 40 to 45, and that actually was about a $25,000 savings overall on the fixed costs for the year.
I realize that. I mean employee base. Is there a time that we look at raising the employee's deductible to?
We've looked at deductibles over the past several years. We look at them every year to determine whether it would be something that we need to do at this time. And this year we felt that the deductibles that we had in place were appropriate and really didn't feel that there's anything that should be changed. Kathy, Don, you might say something. You've been representing the
I just know when we just did the change last year, too, it's difficult to keep changing, too, as far as...
Well, I understand it's difficult.
No, I mean as far as on the process with the insurance company and with our employees, too, to change their... We did go from a 500 to a 1,000.
It was easy. Anyone could do it. I understand it's difficult. So, I mean, that's part of it. So,
we did have
Matt.
So, the single premium there is going to go from 516.80 to 610, or 516 to 610. What percentage of that will the county be responsible for, and what percentage of that will the employee have to? Are we assuming the county will absorb all of that increase, or what's the employee's portion? I guess that's my...
On the single?
And the family as well. What are the employees' portions going to go to? The percentages staying the same?
Unless the board decides differently.
So help me, what are the percentages now?
76 and 78, I believe.
So we pay 78% of family?
The CIR, the FOP, pays differently. They mandated what they paid.
And we'll pay 76% of single. So the percentages will stay
76
there.
76 of two-party. Single is covered.
Okay, we covered it.
Yeah, single is full.
So it just looks like it went up, what am I looking here, say roughly $100, so they'll pay another 20 some dollars a month, ballpark, 20, 25, something like that.
And that is always a number that is, you know, it's a decision as far as this board is concerned, and what are we doing as far as our employees are concerned, what can we afford, and trying to be fair to the employees and show them how much their worth is to us, and at the same time be fair, keeping them competitive on what would happen in the general marketplace. And I think probably we're being fair to our employees, but they're paying their fair share too. And the way we have our self-insurance set up, we're not putting ourselves in any kind of financial difficulty with the program that we have. And I think that's basically what we've looked at as a committee.
But I think we did all agree that coming up next year, we're going to take a complete look at this, possibly go out for new bids, and see what we need to do as far as deductibles and a complete program. But we did feel that for this year, we were able to maintain these deductibles that we set up last year.
610.
It's a 20. I'm just going to.
I go to my math guy.
My calculator is horrible. I'm using my cell phone. Yeah.
Where's your computer today, Adams?
It's to my left. I got it shut off so it don't ring.
So it's an 18% increase in single.
That the county is absorbing for the employees.
So
I was going to say the 10 to 12 I knew didn't match up in my head anyway.
Well, it depends on how many we have. Do we know the percentage we have single, two-party, family? We looked at that last year. We used to have those.
Yeah, I don't have it here. I mean, I can...
And what percent is that for a family, then?
That's what I'm going to run here. And these are... These
maybe
are
she niche. Has it on here.
We have 61 singles and 40 families.
8% for family. Looks like about 8.7.
What did you say, Danny? 61?
61 singles and 40 families.
Oh, there it is up top there. 61, 40.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the 8.7% would be for the family. So then we just still do the $1,000 deductible. Employee pays the first $500, and then we reimburse the second half of that. Is that right? Okay. And these take...
You're looking at the single going 106.75 up to 111.54. $5, less than $5, and the family going 243 to 284, which is 41.
Where are you at, Dennis?
Right across in the same aisle from your single quantity, single 61, family 40.
Stop loss premium?
Right. You look at what is the current number, then you go across to the option that we're recommending is your new number.
Then what's this premium down here at the bottom then?
The premium at the bottom is basically an illustrative figure with all of the factors added in. So your fixed costs, all your administration fees, and then your aggregate claim liability, so your aggregate factors as well.
So which one is the accurate one to look at, then, the bottom one?
Yes.
Okay. So we're looking at an 18% increase for single and 8% for family, then, from where we're at.
Correct. And really, the aggregate factors are it's almost a recommendation of what the carrier feels that should be put away on a monthly basis per single and per family to ensure that there's the accurate funds in the claim account.
You could reduce that, and you're going to reduce the cushion that you have that you're building as far as the county is concerned. That reduces the amount of money that you have in excess as the self-insured. So that's what would happen. If you reduce that, basically you're going to reduce our margin, our cash flow margin.
I think it's a good thing. I think being self-insured has showed over time. I mean, $700,000+, we're trying to build up that insurance fund to cover those outliers. I think it's a good thing. You know, like everything else, healthcare is probably the biggest expense, and I just would say we have to assign a value to that. It is a huge benefit. You look at what we're doing here, you know, savings. We're not fully insured. We're self-insured, which there's a savings there.
That's what I mean.
I think it's a good program. It's just, you know, those are costs and benefits that I hope that – when will we send this out? Will this go – when?
Effective our September 1. Let's see, August 31st, wasn't it, our date?
Correct.
But to me, it's very important everyone understands that, because when we started talking employee wages, when you're looking at an 18% increase – you know, somewhere that benefit. You got to look at the dollars
huge
that go with it.
Yeah, this is huge. I mean, you look at a family monthly benefit of less than $300 roughly. That's huge. You go out there, you can easily get gigged for
$500. Oh, yeah.
In the private sector.
Oh, thousands.
Easily. If you're part of a group, if you're small business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the $1,000 deductible that the employee basically only pays $500 of is another huge benefit.
Huge. And I think that, you know, when this goes out, we need to, and possibly at the end of the year when they get their W-2s, saying, and you also had, these benefits that you were able to take advantage of and, you know,
but I think we discussed sending out a notice to all the employees. So they,
yes, we were hoping that they would do a little more toward the wellness and help keep our rates.
I was shocked when I saw how little our employees, basically percentage-wise, are doing what they need to do preventively. I look at colonoscopies. I look at diabetes. I look at all of the things that they could be doing. And we need, as this board, to discuss. We'll do that a little later and not get on it this morning, but I think we need to discuss on how we might possibly contribute to a wellness program to get our employees to be better, take better care of themselves and do the preventive medicine pieces. I think every statistic shows on colonoscopies alone, those people who don't get them are much higher percentage susceptible to colon cancer than those people who do at the age of 50. And I mean, the cost of that is absolutely huge. And we've seen that in this county and with our employees. We've been subjected to that. So we'll deal with that later. But I think it's very important that we go ahead. But at this point, I would like to make a motion to approve the Gage County Health Insurance renewal.
Second. Moved by Beyer, seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Thank you.
And then the only other thing that I was going to request is the disclosure. And basically, at this point, everything has been disclosed to the new carrier, QBE. And by signing off on this and sending it in, that puts Gage County at less risk if something were to happen from now until August 31st. They will no longer be held accountable. So I just wanted to make that apparent that that's important to sign as soon as possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are you Mr. Douglas?
Yeah, I thought you were.
Yeah, he threw a loop in it, didn't he?
Okay. Can you have him make a copy?
Okay, Mr. Douglas is here for discussion on the pending litigation, and we need a motion to go into executive session over update on the Beatrice 6, basically.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
By Byers. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Thank you.
No, my point is,
okay, need a motion to come out of executive session.
The moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Anybody need a 5-minute comfort break?
I'm comfortable.
Okay. Continue. Approve or disapprove resolution on the signing of the federal funds purchase program agreement.
Where is it? I'll make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
That's what we had last meeting.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Setzer.
Chairman, this is the NDOR issue.
Yeah.
With the federal grant dollars that come in, and I think it's time since that we have to sign that now.
Is there a figure on that?
Same one, isn't it?
Nothing. Yeah, it's the same paperwork we have.
Yeah, there's no figure, so you take what they give you.
We're hoping to get some idea, but I think we have. There's a time on that. I think is what we discussed last meeting.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Sometime in August, if I remember right, wasn't it?
August 20th or something like that.
Because if we don't sign it, we don't get anything, I think.
Let's see here. 45 days. It has to be at this address above within 45 days, and this was July 8th.
About August 20th, somewhere in there. Well, I'm uncomfortable not knowing, but I guess we have no choice in it either. So, any more discussion on it? Vote. 6-0 to approve, and we as a board will all have to sign this. Okay, approve or disapprove quote from Quality Fence Company for the purchase of a security fence for area around the Blue Springs Communications Tower in the amount of $3,899.72.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, this expense, and appreciate the paper carrying a small story on this, is Mark Mines came and visited with Finance Committee on Monday. There's been vandalism and trespass at a couple, I believe it's in Blue Springs as well. People climbing the tower, beer cans, and these are towers that send emergency response notifications. So it's really, quite frankly, a couple knuckleheads messing with public safety. And so their recommendation from NIRMA was to put some fence up with barbed wire. This is a public safety issue. There's also going to be some fencing, I believe, put up. I think Mark talked about it because it doesn't say it on here, but there was some discussion. Not going to do the Adams one.
Oh, I thought he was talking about across the street. He's not doing across the street yet.
Okay, no, okay. It was not Adams. Sorry, it was across the street.
Yeah,
so
later.
We won't talk about that one. But so basically, this is a public safety issue because of trespass and vandalism. So it's kind of serious. So Mark's going to hustle up and get this done.
He had a broken rail 200 feet up, didn't he?
Yeah, they were saying that people were climbing this tower that right there in the park, and so that's the context of that.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 to approve. Community Service Coordinator Overview of Agency.
For those of you who don't know, I'm Christina Lyons with Gage County Maps. Every year for the past probably 12 years, I have done the community service, County Aid Grant, which is the comprehensive county plan which deals with juvenile justice. And that filters down, in the past it has filtered down through a County Aid Grant we get every year based upon our juvenile population for 19,000. You'll see the numbers there, 19,387. In the past, that has been gone to the contract with Beatrice Police Department. In April, our community service coordinator resigned and left, and as a part of this grant this year, this money will go to, in addition to community service, but a part of the diversion program. It's 19,000, like I said, 387. If we are awarded, Gage County Maps is awarded the DFC grant, that money will go to someone else's salary. If not awarded that, then it will continue to be a part of my salary. We have not got the grant notification or the award notice that you sign off on yet, and so in future weeks I'll be back to ask you to sign off on that. This money is a pass-through. The reason I'm here once a year is just to explain to you what we use the money for. It's part of the Community Service Diversion Program this year. It's a pass-through. It's money that we get because we do the Juvenile Justice Plan every 3 years. It's money because I continue to write that grant. If something changes and they are thinking about restructuring how counties get that money, well, I'll let you know. But for this year, that's what we're allotted. In addition to this, we received an enhancement grant for 4224 this year. And you'll see that on the second page, that notification. Again, none of those awards are special conditions or anything has filtered down from the Crime Commission. They must have a backlog of paperwork. I'm not sure what's going on up there, but that money will go towards five people from this county going to asset development training in Omaha in November. I included a couple of things in there from diversion just so you had an idea of what numbers we were serving and what the budget looks like. This is, I think that Roger knows that the first 6 months we kind of just tried to keep our heads above water and figure out what was happening. And this is what has happened in the last several months. It looks like this program, the way we're working it now, can be completely self-sustainable. And those are the numbers that we dealt with. We have about 128 active juvenile and adults at this time. The match, one thing I always forget is the match for that $19,000 grant and the $4,200 grant that is included here is money that we already spend in our county for juvenile holding, for county guardian ad litem fees, all through the county court. It's an in-kind match. It's not something that I ever ask the county to give us money for. What questions do you have?
Terry.
These grants, and where's that money coming from?
The Crime Commission is these two grants.
And is that state or?
State of Nebraska.
State.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so far, those have not been cut in the budget. They're small enough amounts, apparently they wouldn't make any difference if they cut them.
I want to commend you again, Christina. I think what you're doing in the community is very, very valuable to all of us. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Need a motion to put report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion, vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove agreement between the county and the Department of Health and Human Services for the work of the Clerk of District Court as it relates to child support enforcement.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Diane, you want to fill us in at all?
I don't know if the new board members understand what this is. Maybe I should explain that a little bit. What it is a matter of reimbursing the county for some of the work we do in our office just as a normal, our normal workload, but it's a percent that's allocated towards child support enforcement. So anytime we're doing a case where Mr. Kravick's doing, trying to support order or paternity order or enforcement of somebody having to pay child support, we do time studies every month. It's computer generated. It's a percent that it gives us of the whole three of us in the office what's dedicated to child support enforcement. And then I go through every quarter and figure out what the salaries and benefits are, what are supplies and stuff they have to do with the office, and turn it in. And it comes to 2010 was like $49,775 that came back to the county just as part of me asking the quarterly reimbursement.
Okay. Matt.
So, Dawn, on the revenue side, does that show back into her budget, or where does that go, just in the general?
It goes to general fund.
It goes in the general.
Just the general. $49,000.
That was last year, 2010. It changes. You have Maximus come down to give me an indirect cost that has to do with heating, building, and stuff. We don't have their letter yet. Have you gotten one from them?
Not yet.
And that percent for indirect, that changes every year. So fluctuates. But our percent of our workload runs around 25-26% monthly. So that comes back. You figure on your salary benefits. You take that times that, and then there's a federal reimbursement rate, which is 66%. So you come down, keep coming down.
So HHS sends us, this is comes back to the county.
HHS gets it from federal. You know, state gets it from the federal. Then they have a way that they have us figure what we need back from the state. So it's in the beginning, it's federal money, but it gets back to the state.
Well, that's what I'm trying to track this. I'm thinking, how long is that faucet going to stay on before they shut that off?
Well,
I'm just curious. I just this conversation.
Nobody knows. Yeah. I mean,
I know the reductions that have taken place up there, and I just wonder how much more.
But their reduction would have to come from the federal side before, you know. Yeah, it's one of those things. You never know when it's gonna. But it's been around for a lot of years.
Contract covers that situation. If the funding, we get a 30-day notice and the money's cut off. So. Yeah.
So. It's a chunk that comes in that you'll miss if it.
Take it when you can get it. Take it
when you can get it. So. Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 to approve. Anything else you want to bring us up to date on?
Well, I don't know anything. There's like three originals.
Got them. Oh, I just went on this one where you had it marked.
Approve or disapprove EMS agreement between the Village of Claytonia and Gage County in the amount of $16,000.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
I think the other ones are mine. Okay.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion.
Or one.
Vote. 6-0 to approve. Don will want to talk on the GIS workshop, so I'll talk on jail inspections. We need to get our jail inspections current because you're being audited here very shortly, correct? So the jail inspection second quarter was Lytle and Juergens. If you guys haven't done it, you need to do it. And then third quarter is Setzer and Byers. So we need to have all that current in the next week or so.
They have to stay overnight in the jail.
They have to stay overnight in the jail, and they got to try the food and sleep close to the windows on the north side.
And flip a coin at who gets tased, right?
Yeah. So Doug can get you set up with that. So we need to have those current because they're coming down August 31st. So jail standards is. Approve or disapprove GIS workshop for redistricting services.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
Well, we brought this kind of as a discussion item here sometime back. This is just a company that I think Patty uses this GIS workshop for her assessor office. They are doing a program. This John that worked for the state of Nebraska, thanks. He is working with GIS now as well. It's something that we can hire them to do. They will, from some of the things she says, they take all the impacting maps, the precincts, wards. They give us three map options. They just come to discuss them with you for the final map. They can tweak that. I know they have begun working on some counties. It's not something we have to do. It's an option of doing it yourself or hiring somebody. I've got an election here next month. I know you guys are all busy. It's whether you guys want to try to work on it or we want to move forward with
it. I'm not volunteering to work on it. I'll just tell you, I spent about half a day doing some research on this. And I believe I spoke directly with this gentleman. I called the state of Nebraska and asked him, how hard is this process? And first and foremost, he gave full disclosure and said he does work for this company. But he said that he had had an elected individual. Gosh, what was that? It's like a commissioner or somebody from, maybe it was a clerk from a county that spent a significant amount of time doing this last time, was proud that he got it done but regretted every minute of it, to try and access the information. So this gentleman gave me some different websites to go to. It's quite a task. I think it's $2,800, probably pretty well spent for 10 years. So, I mean, I did a little bit of research to find out, you know, is that cost really worth it? What time would it take? And he seemed pretty impressed that it would take quite a bit of time.
How far off are our numbers?
Well, when you look at it, my district has shrunk the most.
This is what he gave me.
And this is the 2010, which is what we anticipated. The growth is going north. District 1, which was the biggest district? District 3, and that's Q, Kathy, isn't it? That is the biggest district with 3,500. District 1 has 3,464. So, I mean, you two are not off very far. Then District 2 is 2,987. District 4 is 3,379. District 5 is 3,085. District 6 is 2,789. District 7 is 3,100.
This is actually something he did for me at a workshop that we went to when I met with him. He did provide me with some of the information for you guys to look at.
I participated in this when they did it 10 years ago, and maybe what level I was at, it was pretty easy. You know, it didn't seem difficult then. And I guess I'm under the opinion we can do it, but everyone is busy. There is a lot of things going on.
And it has to be completed by November. Okay. So, kind of getting close on time.
Any more discussion?
So the motion is to approve this process.
Motion is to approve it. Any more discussion? Vote. In favor, Juergens, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. Against, Adams. In favor or absentee is Dorn. Okay, committee reports. Terry.
Rex.
Okay. I think everybody got a sheet as far as the what's been going on down at the county barn. You can read through that. Basically, the dirt crew, where they've been, asphalt crew, they've been busy patching, I know. Bridge crew as well. A little more overview. The Beatrice North, the concrete lane up north, I think, was the west part of it. The intersection has been poured by 77. The west part was being poured yesterday. I think they had some equipment problems. I don't know if they got it finished or not, and I think they'll come back probably next week and finish that up. That whole mile will be done hopefully next week sometime. I think the time, if I remember correctly, was August 16th was the completion date. I mean, excluding rain days and everything, so it is getting close, but I think that probably can easily be done. Also, major renovations being done to the county road from Highway 77 to Holmesville. Complete upgrading, and they're in the process of doing that. I think it's just probably, you know, it's going to be quite an undertaking to completely grade that road up and get it finished up, be re-rocked and everything. So that's another place where they're working. The last thing, I've had some, I guess, complaints concerning our gravel allocations. And finally, I think this week, the Ace is producing gravel. And as of right now, there are four trucks hauling out of there to complete. We'll try to get a good start, I guess we should say, on our gravel allocation for this spring now. There's basically only two pits we can pick from, and the consolidated pit is in full production. They're going 24 hours a day as of right now, but they service four different counties. They've got Saline, Jefferson, Washington County, as well as Gage. So getting product out of there has been an issue also. Out of the 24 townships, we're currently on township number 7 as far as allocations of gravel. And so we've got quite a few to get through here yet, but hopefully if the pit keeps running, we're going to work through these and try and get as much gravel out there as we can, as quickly as we can. So we've been lucky. We've had a fairly good time weather-wise, but it's something we'll keep working at to get that gravel down there, because I know it's something we need to get done. So basically all I have.
And can we just make a comment?
Yes.
It's not that we don't recognize that the products need that, we have the allocation. We just don't have the supplier that's
right.
Able to deliver what they say.
Right.
And that's kind of the heartache we have, is we know that we're committed to doing that. It's just,
right.
They're not going to pump it. We can't haul it.
And basically, we've got two pits we can pick from. I mean, there used to be quite a few more. We're down to two. There are pits available to the west. Increased cost, increased hauling. So we've shied away from that, hoping these two would produce what we need. And I think we're at the point now, I think we will get that done. So if there's any questions in your districts about allocations on their gravel, we're working at it right now. So hopefully, you know, it'll all work out. So.
Okay. Matt.
Emergency Management, EMS Committee will meet tomorrow at 4 here. Finance Committee, we've gone through the state audit that we had, and we've tried to address some of those things that needed to be changed. The other things, we worked on the budget, and I know, Don, I'd love to give some preliminary stuff, but I probably shouldn't. I think we're being very aggressive, and I think the public will be very pleased with what we're trying to do as far as tax levy and expenditures, and since we're just dealing off potential numbers now, I'd rather not say too much, but I know that we've been aggressive, and I think we're going to have an appropriate budget for next year, and it's going to be very fiscally responsible, and I think it's something that we're going to continue to be able to operate. We're going to fund people appropriately, and we're not going to be a burden on the taxpayers. So I'll just throw that out there.
Any other committee reports? Matt, did you get the request from Five Rivers for additional money? I got a letter there. He came before the board, yeah. But I got an official letter, so.
Yeah, there's, you know, and I guess this is something in the budget. This is the Five Rivers where we had historically funded. This is the program that the feds cut out, and now they're going back to the counties and wanting them to basically pick up the tab. And so as I put the budget together, I do not have $4,462.40 in the budget for Five Rivers RC&D. If anyone really feels a need to lobby for that or have us cut something else out to add this to it, I suppose the ears are open. We as a board can come to a consensus, and obviously we can't do it now, but it's not an agenda item, but this is not in the budget. Going through the budget, where the idea is not to add any new agencies. It's to cut back and be fiscally responsible, and so I do not have in the budget $4,462.40 for Five Rivers RC&D.
Okay, Terry.
Matt, I fully agree with you on that. We're going to have to watch our cost here. I mean, everybody knows that this is one place that I feel is acceptable to not fund. So.
Okay. Lisa, did you have something for us? Okay. Anything else for the good of the order of the Board of Supervisors? Board of Supervisors adjourned 10:22.